Communications vehicle to Cubans on the island through which messages can be sent when unrest occurs, both to spur unrest and then to basically be able to communicate with leaders of the opposition to the Cuban government. And Alan Gross's project was very similar, although it was had a different technological dynamic than the Twitter account. But it was the same idea. You create a network, you build a base of independent communications, and then later you can have people use those communications and receive communications from the United States in a way that gets around the controls of the Cuban government. Alan Gross was arrested in December of 2009. I believe that this program probably was in the works, this Twitter program, all throughout 2009 also, and may well have derived from the very end of the Bush administration. The Bush administration really wanted to help the Republican Party and help Jeb Bush in Florida eventually by, you know, pushing forward with covert operations and pro-democracy operations. And they started throwing even more money at USAID to do this. One of the elements that we've learned here is that even after Alan Gross was arrested and Congress began to very forcefully scrutinize these types of surreptitious, certainly clearly covert operations being run out of USAID, USAID did not stop them. They continued and escalated this very Twitter-like program that we're now learning about. I think it's very important, though, Amy, that we recognize one thing. Like the Alan Gross gambit, this Twitter operation failed miserably. It was a waste of money in the end. And now, with the revelations of it, are hurtful to the effort to kind of rebuild a U.S.-Cuban relationship, solve the problem of Alan Gross in prison in Cuba and the three Cuban spies that are still in prison in the United States, and get on with a relationship with Cuba that is a modern relationship that meets the national interests of the United States of America. And these regime change programs are only hurtful to those national interests.
Peter Kornbluh, I want to thank you for being with us. Directs the Cuba Documentation Project National Security Archive. We will link to the article you just wrote about this AP expose, and that does it for the show. Our condolences to Democracy Now! Fellow Messiah Rhodes on the death of his partner, Ashley Blake. She will be buried today. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Amate, Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkaff, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, to Becca Staley, to Chirina Nadura, to Messiah Rhodes, and to Cassandra Lazar. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to the new WHFR Journal for Friday, April 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR also. And we're going to start the show off today with a special guest from right here at Henry Ford Community College. You know, there's a lot of people that know a lot of things here. And in this case, we have Diane Green from the Counseling Department at HFCC talking about a special educational opportunity for people who are either students or not even students yet here. So welcome, Diane Green.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Okay, we didn't hear you at all for some reason. Okay, they switched microphones on me. Now we can say hi. Hi, Diane.
Why, hello.
Hi. Okay.
How are you?
We had a band in last night, and they switched the position of the microphone, so I apologize.
That's quite all right.
We're very busy here. Okay. So one of the things that you do, other than counseling in general, is, and for the last several years, in fact, have been working on offering to both students and the public in general non-traditional career information courses. And there's one coming up next Wednesday that maybe some of our listeners, either live or online before next Wednesday is April the 9th, might want to consider for their morning. So tell us about it.
Okay. We are actually in our seventh year of offering the seminars, and the one that we're presenting on Wednesday, April the 9th, is focused on men. And we're looking at those non-traditional health careers that we make available here at Henry Ford for providing information to individuals coming in. So we'll be focusing in on our nursing program and all of the health career programs that we offer here at HFCC.
And we should say is that the flip-flop of this is usually in the fall, or at least half the time, depending on how many of these you do each year, are for women, so non-traditional careers for women. So it's not a war on men or a war on women here.
No,
we're
absolutely
trying to give everybody options. Now, I think a lot of men may have heard that nursing is a possibility for them, but they don't quite understand what the responsibilities would be and, you know, I don't know, chances for improvement or whatever, because maybe they hadn't really looked into that. They just know what they see on TV, and that's not real. So
only a little bit of it.
Yeah, only a little bit. The uniforms they wear, or
the
scrubs, as they call them. But well, tell us, there's a whole range here of different sessions, and it does start early if you want the Continental Breakfast, people, for free. Registration and Continental Breakfast is 7:30 a.m. next Tuesday.
Next Wednesday.
No, I'm sorry, next Wednesday, yes. And go to bed early on Tuesday so I can get up. Okay, and at 8 a.m. Is the first presentation. And then they go at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, probably with a few second breaks in between, on a whole different variety of career, you call them specialties, within the health careers area. And we have quite a few that we offer, quite a few different paths and directions. So explain a few of these for us.
Okay. The nursing ends up being a big highlight area for us because it is one of our largest programs here at Henry Ford Community College. And we're fortunate this year to not only have a student as a keynote presenter, but a graduate. So they'll be kind of teaming up and giving the perspective of what it's like to be a male student in the nursing program, and then what opportunities employment-wise are available upon completing that particular program. We're also highlighting our physical therapy assistant program, respiratory therapy, as well as our radiography, surgical tech, ophthalmic technician, and our pharmacy tech, and of course our medical assistant. And again, the idea is to provide as much information as possible in helping individuals to understand better what the program training is about, as well as what opportunities are available to them upon completing those programs. So between lead faculty and students who are currently matriculating in those areas, or students who have in fact graduated, our hope is that they walk away with a wealth of information that's going to help them make realistic decisions about which program they might want to pursue.
Now, I know that some of these programs you can actually go on and get a four-year degree in, or even more, but most of the programs you mentioned, after 2 years succeeding, a proven success in the program, you can start looking for jobs at that point. Is that true? Most of them are sort of the jobs are not automatic. Again, you have to be qualified. There's competition, but almost all these positions are pretty needed at most area.
Absolutely. And I think that as we look at the aging of the baby boom population, that is putting even a greater demand and will continue to put an increasing demand on the health career areas, there in fact are jobs available to individuals pursuing these areas. Again, as you pointed out, the nursing program, for example, many of our students go on to earn that bachelor's degree and then subsequently may go into nurse anesthetist, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of mobility opportunities. Surge Tech, the individuals completing that program, in fact, are employable with their certification, completion of the program, to work in that setting.
I'm just going to ask a question about nursing, and that is years ago, maybe it's still true. My daughter had to do this. She had to take extra work when she started as a teacher after she already got her job with a four-year degree that the state of Michigan requires to get a master's. Mm-hmm. In a certain period of time. You have so many years. Nurses, do they have to eventually get a four-year degree, or they have to take extra hours of credit? Do you know about that?
Well, it's interesting. For a number of years now, there's been that debate out there as it relates to the two-year associate degree. I think you may remember probably 15 years or so ago, there was a real movement to phase out LPNs. And individuals who were LPNs really moved into RN programs to get those two-year associates.
What's the LPN stand for?
Licensed professional nurse.
Yeah, I knew that.
So with the RN, now there's this discussion as to whether that degree will continue to be. My take is for right now and for some years to come, that will be in place. But we certainly are encouraging our students to think very seriously about moving on to that four-year degree.
I tell students who are majoring here in our telecommunication program, not a health career program, although mental health kind of, if you do it well, if you do it appropriately, it improves the mental health of the whole country, all your listeners and viewers. But without a four-year degree, you also don't have as many career opportunities maybe to move up in authority in telecom. And that may be somewhat true in all these areas, in fact. And in fact, if you wanted to maybe switch careers laterally or maybe totally, just having a bachelor's in anything is probably an employable kick. I mean, it looks good on the resume to have a BA, but of course it helps you get more in-depth knowledge and experience in whatever your career is at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, again, folks, we're talking not just about nursing as an allied health area here, that in this special free seminar at HFCC next Wednesday morning, but also physical therapy, mm-hmm. respiratory therapy, mm-hmm. radiology, nursing, and surgical technology. And these are, doesn't mean you're going to do surgery, but you're going to be there helping.
That's right. In the surgical suite.
Ophthalmic, which has to do with eyes. I figured that out, right?
Yes.
Okay. and pharmacy tech, too, which means you could work in a drugstore, right, to assist with the prescription.
And some of these individuals actually work in clinics and the hospitals within their pharmaceutical departments in preparing medications for surgical procedures. So it's not just working in the pharmacy. But this is another example where many of our students who are really just kind of trying to feel their way, and they want to see, is this an area that I want to pursue?
Oh, yeah. Great.
And many of the students then jump off into pursuing those advanced PhD degrees in pharmacy.
And we'll give people the details of where this is, or I'll just briefly mention again, this is Wednesday morning, April 9th, from 7:30, or at least 8 o'clock start, till about 12:30, when they're going to start lunch, which is also included as a freebie, in the Health Careers Education Center. That's the Health Careers Building here on the main campus of Henry Ford Community College. But just the point you just made, it's not just yourself talking about these different areas, and you probably could, being a good counselor, but we have people who are heading up the programs here at HFC, as well in some areas as a student, like a nursing student here, and also a nursing graduate of our program. And that's also true in an ophthalmic technician student is going to be here, and a pharmacy tech student. So you get the student's perspective at the same time as the program, because program people are somewhat biased. Everybody thinks their program is the best. but the students can share, both in the session and maybe during the breaks or whatever, some really relevant facts that maybe the program person hadn't thought to put on their list. So I think it's a great great full experience exploring these non-traditional health careers for men.
Absolutely. It's important that we are able to identify students and graduates to participate, because I think what the prospective student or the individual who is matriculating here and wanting to gain admission into these programs like to hear from people like themselves who are in the program, have experienced the program, and are able to talk real about what it feels like being in programs that have traditionally been dominated by women. Mm-hmm. How does mm-hmm. that feel? What kinds of expectations do you find imposing on yourself as a student as you matriculate through the program? So they get into real good dialogue. There are tremendous questions that are asked, and the students are just excellent in terms of the points that they bring to this whole experience. So you're right, it's very rich.
Well, I hope our listeners, if they're all interested in this and pursuing this career or switching careers, will be able to get there next Wednesday morning. And drop-ins are welcome, apparently, it says here on the sheet you gave me, but probably you'd prefer reservations so you can get enough of the continental breakfast and lunches together.
Absolutely. We want enough food so everyone can eat.
Whoa, gee, that's a free lunch. I think I'll come
that's
myself.
That's right, and it's usually a very good lunch, okay. too.
Reservations, it's a person called Brenda. Last name? Hildred?
Redinger.
Okay.
That's our
right.
secretary
okay.
in the area.
It's 313-845-9617 if you're sure you want to be here. And I if you're not, tell other people. There's probably something on the HFCC website, too. Is there a special little promo when they get to
there. The
counseling area or health careers
it
area?
Should
or
be
is there
actually
a little box
the
or
main
window
page.
About a big event coming up?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, this is called Non-Traditional Health Careers for Men. Imagine the Possibilities is the subtitle. And you could call Brenda in the counseling office here at HFCC at 313-845-9616. Or if you can remember the spelling here, B for Brenda and Redinger, R-E-D-I-N-G-E-R, at hfcc.edu. That's the email. You could just drop a little email there to Brenda Redinger and... she'll get it. And hope again, if you know anyone that's interested in this, it's looking for some really good career choices, who are men in this case, for this particular offering, then they should try to come on by, try to let them know.
Absolutely. We'd love to have them.
And there's a man here right now who is just joining me, our WHFR Downriver news reporter, John Conroy. Do you want to ask a final question to Brenda, Diane here?
Yes, I would.
Okay, and your mic's not on. Here we go again. There we go.
Yes, I would, Jay. Thanks. Hi, Diane.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm great. And I have a couple of comments and a question as well. I'm sure it'll be a healthy lunch as well.
Well,
I was thinking that way. You know?
We try very hard.
Yes.
There are many different kinds of dietary situations, though, so you probably can't provide all the choices.
True enough. I was just wondering for... nurses who've been nursing for a while in the profession mm-hmm. and may have stopped and done something else, and they're interested in continuing their careers, but hadn't had any education recently. Would this be a good event for them to come to?
Well, it would be. Now, and I say that from the standpoint that they, in fact, may be able to get updated information on how to proceed moving forward. But if they, in fact, had completed an associate degree in nursing mm-hmm. and had stopped, then really their contact should be with the four-year institution to which they're interested in attending.
I see.
And then there would be, of course, that assessment of their transcript and information in terms of their work that they did at Henry Ford or any other community college. It would be evaluated, and then that four-year institution would then outline what that student would have to do. Now, that may involve them having to come back to the community college to refresh on skills.
Refresh, yes.
For example, anatomy and physiology is a big one.
Okay.
And normally there's an age of credit that's placed on biology. So a four-year nursing program may say, well, based on the kinds of things that you're going to need moving forward, we're going to want you to go back and repeat that anatomy and physiology. It's more than 5 years old.
Okay.
So a four-year program could make those kinds of requests if an individual has taken a hiatus from their area of work and then are wanting to return to it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a good example of the kind of information you can get directly from one of our great counselors here on campus, too. If there's specific questions about any career areas, as well as the programs we offer, definitely get in touch with one of the counselors at HFCC about certainly what we can offer. But their experience and knowledge, like Diane Green's here, is just huge, and it can really give you the detailed facts. Now, this program, again, Non-Traditional Health Careers for Men, next Wednesday morning, April 9th. It is for men, but if there was a woman that wanted to sneak in,
we wouldn't tell her to go away.
Right. Okay.
But it is directed to
It's all oriented to male opportunities for males. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other things that I'd like to say to you is we're now experiencing individuals who earned undergraduate degrees in other areas of study who are now wanting to come back and pursue our two-year nursing program or our physical therapy assistant program. So we do experience those individuals, and then that's an assessing of that four-year record that they've completed, what credits are applicable, and what that means in relation to their admissibility into the program.
Well, Diane, that brought up the next item that I was going to speak about. I know a lot of folks that have been in the teaching profession who have decided to switch into nursing, into the healthcare allied professions, because there's just more jobs available right now.
Yeah,
and that's been I've seen a big movement that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely, and there will continue to be more jobs.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much, Diane Green from HSCC Counseling Department, for coming by today talking about the Non-Traditional Health Careers for Men. Again, that's going to be next Wednesday, April 9th, starting at 7:30 for registration and 8 a.m. for the first presentations, going until about 12:30 when there's going to be lunch and prizes. Oh, my gosh.
And good prizes, too.
Oh, my gosh. Geez, just go for the food and the prizes, people. No, seriously.
We
it's a
give
great,
a little information
great
too.
Educational experience. So please, listeners, spread the word to anyone you know. And drop-ins are welcome. Again, it's in the Health Careers Education Building on the main campus of HFCC. I'm about to put a sign on the front door. In the back door, too. It is room 150, though. And if you do want to reserve in advance, call Brenda at 313-845-9617. Thank you so much, Diane Green, for giving us the word on this great event.
And thank you for having me.
We're going to be back with more of the WHFR Journal after this commentary from Jack Lessenberry, thanks to Michigan Radio.
Newspapers, even big city newspapers, are in a sorry state these days. Thanks largely to the internet, their circulation and advertising revenue has been in free fall, with the result that they have far less staff than they once did. There are also fewer papers than there used to be. Washtenaw County outside Ann Arbor is home to a collection of fascinating and picturesque little towns, Manchester and Saline, Dexter and Chelsea. Each had their own thriving weekly newspaper. The Saline Reporter, for example, the Dexter Leader, the Chelsea Standard. Years ago, I did some consulting for the local company that owned those papers and learned that no matter how physically close these places might be, the good people of Chelsea did not want Dexter News in their paper, and vice versa. Times are different now. Those papers are now owned by an out-of-state branch of a venture capital outfit, which is famous for showing little understanding of or interest in local concerns. This week, it announced it was merging all these papers in the one common amorphous one called Washtenaw Now. Whatever they say, you know there'll be less coverage, especially distinctly local coverage. I would bet on a revived Chevy Corvair before I'd bet on Washtenaw Now. However, we may be suffering more from the decline of our big metropolitan newspapers. True, they still cover sex scandals like a blanket. You can read volumes today about Wade McCree Jr., a Wayne County circuit judge with a famous name. The Michigan Supreme Court removed him from the bench yesterday, saying, with remarkable understatement, that there's not much, if anything, more prejudicial to the actual administration of justice than having a sexual relationship with the complaining witness and then lying under oath about these matters. Okay, that's fascinating, but not especially relevant to most of our lives. Far more important to most of us is what state lawmakers do. There are far fewer reporters in Lansing these days, which means citizens miss a lot. We know, for example, that higher education is far more important than ever. Still, yesterday, for example, a House Higher Education Subcommittee cut the governor's higher ed budget by $5 million. In the old days, that would have been reported, and people would have had the opportunity to make their feelings known before the budget was finally passed and it was too late. But try finding that in most newspapers. Another committee voted to close a legendary reform facility, the W.J. Maxey Training School. Meanwhile, our full-time state senate wasted time on an utterly meaningless vote calling on Congress to call a convention of the states to pass a balanced budget amendment. I know about all this because I have access to an expensive, private news-gathering service. What worries me is that the average person doesn't know. If we really want a democracy in which informed citizens are making intelligent decisions, that should scare your pants off.
Well, I hope not literally, Jack. It's Jack Lessenberry, who writes editorials for the Metro Times in Detroit, and he also records these podcasts, which any of you can get for free on a regular basis if you just sign up at iTunes Store. Look under Michigan Radio, and there are several different categories where they do podcasts, sometimes every day, sometimes a couple times a week, depending on the topic, and, you know, available to the public, all these great ideas. And it is certainly true, and that's one reason WHFR has as many local talk shows with information and opinions, alternative opinions from the mainstream, because you need them. We all need as many ideas and all the information we can get in order to make the best choices. Number one, for politicians, I think. But number two, how to spend our money, how to spend our time. That's two and three. So by all means, you know, whatever we can do to save the local newspapers, like you should subscribe, even though most of them only have part-time staffs now. No full-time people with the time to investigate and assess and dig up stuff that's partially hidden on purpose so that nobody finds out. And that's really unfortunate. That's really a bad trend. And it's because too many of us have chosen to look at the headlines on our smartphones or something, and you think you know something. You don't know anything. You barely know the topic. And you usually, as I mention often about the newspapers, you get the wrong idea about the story from the headlines. If you read all of the story, you realize the headline, which is usually not written by the writer of the story, but by the editor when they place it on the page, is not quite appropriate. I mean, it implies something that is not in the story at all. And so when you read your little 5 or 6 word headline in your smartphone or even on your tablet or your home computer, you're not getting all the news, okay, because you're not getting what the story is really about. And especially, you know, there's something we teach in journalism and telecom broadcast journalism. News is the four W's and an H: what, where, when, why, and how. And the two that are almost never, ever mentioned in any breaking news story is why and how. And why and how are the two questions that, if answered, you actually can learn something. It can become a benefit to your life because you can make different choices. Once you understand why something happened and how it came about, you find out how you relate to it. And that's almost never in these quickie news stories, and it's never in a headline. Never in a headline. You're lucky to get the topic even correctly expressed. For example, I saw a topic today, and maybe I'll play this piece later. The headline said, SCOTUS. And I'm thinking, SCOTUS? Is that a part of the physical anatomy of a human being? No, don't think about that, folks. I forget I said that. But it stands for, it's an abbreviation, and maybe I just haven't caught up, but yeah, I thought I read the news and been up on things for years. It does make sense after you hear it. Supreme Court of the United States. Mm-hmm. And they made a couple of decisions this week. One almost as bad as Citizens United, where they said corporations are people, which is as factually wrong as you can get, okay? And then, of course, the same kind of court, which is kind of split, but there's borderline judges. It's mostly conservative appointees. Okay, and there's a guy who goes, one, he's usually the man, one of the men, that doesn't know which way he's going to go. So out of the nine-person court, you've got four conservatives, four liberals, and one who's kind of really popular because, hey, come to our side. No, you come to our side. So we have a lot of 5-4 decisions, but usually it's conservative. And so they made another decision this week that, oh, by the way, on campaign financing, anybody can give however much money they want to. Sure. Hey, just because you give a couple $1 million to somebody doesn't mean he has to vote your way.
Right.
But doesn't that mean that if you don't vote his or her rich person way, you definitely won't get that money next time? And guess who that money will go to next time? Whoever your opponent is, whether it's in a primary or it's in the election. That money is going to go against you, that huge chunk of change. That money sways politics. Did you know that, folks? It definitely does. How the Supreme Court of the United States, and I can call them SCOTUS, if you know what that means, can conclude this. Even conservatives, it completely disrupts any semblance of equity of response to the public as a whole. Because money does buy influence. Oh, it doesn't directly. Because, oh, a few of those judges, they said, oh, it's not quid pro quo. It's not, you vote yes on this and I'll give you $1 million. No, it's not that yet. But it's going to get awfully close to that, you know. And you know that you won't even get elected next time if it's a matter of $1 million or $2 million or $10 million, depending on which office you're running for, that's not going to come to you but is going to be used against you. You know, you're not going to get reelected. So that's an implied threat that is more, to me, than implied. You know, it's complained, and there's been debate for the last several days on major media. We'll leave this topic alone now. But if you didn't hear about it, well, it's time to find out about SCOTUS and this terrible decision. If Citizens United, which is about, again, corporations have equal rights to people, which is as crazy as you can get, my bottom line is they are not alive. And some of them shouldn't be alive because of what they're doing to our environment and what harm they're causing. Okay, I'm sorry, my opinion. And what's our disclaimer, John? You remember it?
Not as well as you do, Jay. Go ahead.
Okay. All the opinions expressed on this show, the new WHFR Journal, are not necessarily those of anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College. Keep that in mind, all right? Although I hope so. Nonetheless, you know, if Citizens United isn't bad enough, and that's the law of the land, now we have unlimited, well, there are some limitations in terms of millions of dollars, and I won't go into the details, but it's basically unlimited for campaigns. And also, it's unlimited because you can throw your money into what are called PACs, political action committees. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's unlimited. It's totally unlimited. So whether you're talking about individual contributions to an individual candidate or contributions to the party as a whole or working through PACs, well, anybody who's rich can use all of the above and, in fact, spend as much money as they want to put in. And it's always proven that the more money you have, the more likely you are to get elected. That's it. Simple fact. If you have more money spent in your campaign, unless you spent it really stupidly, or you get convicted in some felony crime all of a sudden, you're going to get elected, okay? And so money buys votes indirectly, and it's not just votes to get elected, but money also buys indirectly the representatives that we think are going to speak the mind of the people. And they won't because they're too aware that they need to get elected the next time. I did speak to John Dingell. It was about 20 years ago. I was the local chair of the Michigan chapter of Common Cause, which still exists today. It's a lobbyist group for the people, all the people. And we sat down in his office here in Dearborn, a committee from Common Cause locally, and he was very gracious. But when we brought up campaign financing and that there should be some limits and there should be disclosure of who's giving money to whom for the public, so that at least we know who's buying their vote. He said, oh, no, just because I get money doesn't mean I have to vote that way. I'm totally against that. Any limits. And this is John Dingell, a Democrat, said that. Why? Because he wanted to get reelected again. Of course, as an incumbent, he could raise money a lot easier, and because he had name recognition, even from his dad before him, who got elected to the same job, he was almost a shoo-in anyway. To beat an incumbent, I've taken enough political science to know this is true, the opponent has to spend 2 to 3 times more money before they even have an equal chance to win, to get more votes. So don't tell me that being an incumbent or spending more money in a campaign doesn't matter. It's been proven to matter. That's political science fact. And how SCOTUS, the majority of SCOTUS, does not know that, does not realize. I guess they never had a political science class. How can you become a judge without taking law classes, without a few political science classes? They are so warped at that level with picayune points of law, they don't see the big picture that you learn in political science 131 or 31 in some colleges. It just boggles my mind. It's just so wrong. We have so much to change, folks. And even John Dingell's opinion, just because he wanted to get reelected, even though 20 years ago he was still a shoo-in, you know, I mean, he had a big name even then. Big career, and I like John and a lot of things he's done. I like his political style of, to a certain extent, of compromise, and I liked his support for national health care, which was one of his dad's priorities back in the 40s, which didn't go anywhere, and John kept at it, and of course he is happy about Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and now we have 7 million people that didn't have secure coverage before. I think it's a good thing. There's still about another 30 million to go, however, that don't have any health care, that can't afford it, that don't qualify for this program, so that's a shame. That's about 10% of our population that has to suffer because they can't get health care and they can't afford it in most cases. Yeah, they can get it if they go to emergency, usually. Some hospitals are turning people away from emergency. Some hospitals are, if you can't pay. Some private hospitals can do that, apparently. But not, of course, if you have Affordable Care Act coverage or Medicaid or Medicare. Okay, moving on then. John, you slid in at the last second there. Breaking news from downriver?
Well, we had an event last Sunday. That was we had 2,000 people from 21 states.
Oh, my gosh.
That came and ran in various events, a half marathon, a two-person relay, and a 5K run walk, all to benefit cystic fibrosis. Mm-hmm. And there's a Rock CF organization that's run by a gal named Emily Schaller of Gros Eel, who's a daughter of a very close friend of mine and his wife.
Okay.
And
fun was had by all.
Fun was had by all. Great turnout and food afterwards as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, nobody can say Downriver doesn't have some fun sometimes.
That's
okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Looking quickly, just a survey. We have so many stories. A few stories are breaking. Let me cover those first because they're just on pressandguide.com. They haven't made it into the Sunday edition yet because Sunday is not here yet. Although some people get the paper, I think, on Saturdays. They get it if they're really close to where it shoots out of the printing press.
Yes.
Anyway, one is that we did have a merging, you know, of the Dearborn Fire Department with Melvindale Fire Department. And got a grant to help with some of the changes required, some of the technology, and I think a new engine even. And in fact, last week, pictures in last week's Press and Guide, I can't remember which edition, big fire in Melvindale. In fact, they had a call in fire support from 5 different cities. So our merged fire department even need a little extra help on that one. But giving good service, and that's working out real well. Well, now Dearborn, Melvindale, and Dearborn Heights are looking to merge dispatch services. They're looking for a state grant, and it's called a competitive grant assistance program. And a three-county collaboration, that grant is going to be for $4 million if they get it. And as indicated by Dearborn Fire Chief Joseph Murphy, says, we're still in the very early stages. We haven't done any studies or anything like that on this yet. So until we get the money, we don't know how we're going to do it. We haven't a clue. I mean, they got a general idea. It might be a good idea because, you know, Dearborn Melvindale Fire Department worked, and now Dearborn Heights, which is also contiguous, it connects to the borders of Dearborn here. And of course, what is dispatch? That is where you get people, fire and police, perhaps. It's not specific here. Maybe it's just fire departments, as far as I know. But, you know, when the call comes in and then teams have to be called to go out. And maybe you can have, like, one central switchboard or something, you know, and more people. I think in one of our discussions with people from Dearborn Heights on the Dearborn Heights News and Views that we do here usually once a month, that they had some issues with their dispatchers, you know. How many do they have? Do they have enough? What are the hours? And so if they had a single office, it's all electronic. You just route the calls one place, and then you could choose the kind of support that is needed. So that's good. That's the state offering grants, a competitive grant assistance program on Tuesday afternoon with our own tax dollars. It says Wayne County is the only other local government agency to actually receive funds, though, from this program. The county will receive $210,000 to consolidate the Vital Records Department with the City of Detroit's same department. I guess that's like births and deaths and marriage licenses, vital records.
Yes.
Things having to do with life. Yeah. So I guess it's good to merge it. Probably City of Detroit is still using an Atari computer or something. I don't know even if they have computers. Poor City of Detroit. Okay. And the other thing is, and this is a big deal, especially to us, it's National Volunteer Week, April 6th through 12th. Okay. And there's a story, there's going to be a story in the Sunday Dearborn Press and Guide about how the Dearborn Animal Shelter volunteers, which is a volunteer organization. Again, the shelter is run by the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter under a contract from the city with the city of Dearborn. And they have many volunteers, just like we have about 50, 60 volunteers here at WHFR. Coincidentally, I have to put the plug in, our once-a-year pledge drive to get needed funds for WHFR. We can't run this place without your support. Is also April 6th to the 12th. Starts this Sunday, goes through the following Saturday. Well, in Dearborn, there's so many wonderful organizations that depend. It's essential to their mission to have volunteers. Not just a few, but like in our case, in the animal shelter's case, the majority have to be volunteers. We need those people or these operations can't exist. Wow. So we wish good luck for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Of course, they have fundraising several times a month in a variety of ways, and we often have them on this show. They're a special charity of mine that I donate to regularly because they're doing such a great job for the local community. And I love the title, though, whether they wrote it or not, Make a Positive Difference. Make a Positive Difference. For the Dearborn Animal Shelter, of course, dogs and cats have paws, not feet. Yeah, okay. Well, make a positive difference for us. We have, of course, not paws, but feet. Hope you'll consider a generous donation. Starting this Sunday, every show that you love, including this show next Friday, we'll be asking for you to make a pledge, either by calling us or going online to our website, whfr.fm. All the information is already there. We don't want you to call now. Okay, we're not quite set up for that yet, but starting Sunday, 10 in the morning to about midnight every night, call us, make a pledge. Sure, we have donor incentives. They're already on the website, whfr.fm. You could do that pledge now if you want to, and we thank you very much for considering it. Next Friday's show, especially because it's a special pledge week, as we've done for many years, we will have the mayor of the city of Dearborn, Mayor John B. O'Reilly himself, here for the whole hour. What will he ask? What will he say? Tune in and find out. And I know one thing he'll say, because I'll make him say it, and I will certainly say, please make a generous pledge now. I'll say that next week on this show, because this show, we need new audio equipment. The board that all the sounds are going through, after it comes from the microphone, it goes through a mixer, some people call it. We have a nickname of a board. It's really an audio console device. Very expensive. We need two of them. We really do. And we need your support. 60% of our budget comes from your pledges that mostly come during this once a year only pledge drive, and we need your consideration and support at that point. Moving on to other stories today, though. From last Sunday's Pressing Guide, a public school, I think it's a elementary school, McCullough-Eunice. They couldn't decide on the name for the place between two, so they made it both names, hyphenated. So it was either going to be for the McCullough person or for the Eunice person. So they made it, and they couldn't decide because the Board of Trustees, they're not there to make decisions. You know, I mean, and they didn't want to diss on anybody because they were both very distinguished people in Dearborn. So, okay, we got McCullough-Eunice. And, of course, that trend will result in some schools and public buildings having 10 or 14 names all hyphenated because nobody can make a decision who's more important. And in this case, it wasn't a matter of who gave the most money. It was just honoring people for their service to Dearborn. Anyway, McCullough-Eunice is the first Midwest public school to be STEM certified, which stands for an acronym I can't remember now, but it has to do with technology and science. And to be STEM certified means that you're going to do a great job for your students. It's a curriculum you set up for minimal requirements for science and technology information for everybody. And it needs to start at the elementary school level, of course. Mm-hmm. You can't just throw science at them in the last couple of years. Just like really, as I knew, unfortunately, I started studying foreign language in high school. Oh, my God. My daughter got it in Dearborn starting in fifth grade a little bit. Well, now, she forgot it all because she didn't follow it after that. But nonetheless, learning a foreign language is a lot easier the younger you can start. And so, oh, well. Anyway, First Lady T, that's Christina O'Reilly. And I met her for the first time and thought she was Debbie Dingell. That was really embarrassing. That was at the mayor's address. Because I knew Debbie Dingell was going to be there, and the mayor had her right with him, so I thought, oh, he's escorting Debbie Dingell, who's John Dingell's wife, and has already announced she's going to try to run for his seat in Congress in this fall's election. Anyway, and because they're both attractive women, and Christina has blonde hair that was kind of like the hairstyle I saw a lot for the last picture of Debbie Dingell. So apologize to you, Christina. My daughter's name, Christina. I love Christina, and you're a wonderful I never actually got a chance to see the mayor's wife up close before, so, and then I call her by the wrong name. Although, maybe it's an honor to be referred to as the wife of a distinguished legislator, I don't know. But the wife of a distinguished mayor is not,
not too bad either.
No, of course. So she's going to have a benefit that's called a T, and it's going to be the Dearborn Heights Country Club, and it's going to be on April 26th, so plan ahead. It's $35 a person, I know, but it's going to benefit the Dearborn Community Arts and Arts Council. Okay, more than 35 or 40 groups, nonprofit, volunteer groups that do good and beautiful things for the culture of Dearborn. So it's a worthy cause. Happens every year. I just thought I'd mention that. Then there was a number of superintendents of local area schools that got together a week or so ago in Dearborn talking, and it was a public affair, but of course they notified via the papers on the day or the day before it was going to happen, so not very many people found out about it. But also the superintendent of Michigan Department of Education, okay, the number one superintendent in the state, Mike Flanagan, came by, and guess what he said? Number one, Dearborn is doing a great job. It's a good district. Of course, why do we have one school that's sort of failing, or at least according to statistics, it needs help. It's in some category. You know, it's Edsel Ford High School. Got this bad category that it's in, and it's under close watch by the state of Michigan now, and got to make improvements or whatever. But the state superintendent said, Dearborn District is fantastic. It's doing a great job. So thank you, Mike Flanagan. But he also said that districts could help more students if they got increased funding. Ooh, there's a jab back at whom? The legislature and the governor. The Republican-controlled legislature and the Republican governor. Yes, this year, for the first year in 6 years, the schools, public schools, have gotten a slight increase from the year before, But they're still not where they were 6 years ago, even. Okay? So you can't keep cutting and not hurt something. Okay? Okay? Is that okay? It's not okay. Okay. And here, I thought it was very significant, even though it kind of obvious to most people, that with increased funding, you can do more things, hire more specialists, have more computers, more technology, spend more time in research, development, curriculum planning that will improve things, more time in grade assessment, in teacher assessment, all kinds of good things, even efficiencies of scale. You can have some people looking at the budget and within your own district and figuring out how to save money. If they have the time to do that, you know. My daughter is praying in Southfield Public Schools that eventually they'll have enough money to buy her a stapler. They can't afford to buy a stapler to put the sheets of paper together that she has to pass out to her students. So she bought one. Well, every teacher should buy their own stapler. Who are you if you say that? I do not understand. You know, basic supply. She's not asking for an automatic multi-sheet document presentation device. She's asking for a stapler. Now, here at HFCC, we actually have Xerox machines that when you make copies, you can put a staple into multiple sheet copies if you want it. Imagine, they won't buy machines like that because they cost an extra $5 or $10 or something. Mm-hmm. They won't buy Xerox machines that will staple for you. So if you got a couple hundred kids all together, as she does, with seven different sections, and they're all different throughout the day, she's got a lot of stapling, a lot of time wasted that she has to put in that take her away from lesson prep and grading papers and planning lessons because she doesn't have a machine that'll staple for her, and then they won't even buy her own stapler. Well, next time we have Brian Wiston here, I want to find out, does Dearborn provide staplers for their teachers? That's my top question, okay? And they better. Boy, if we're such a great district, according to Mike Flanagan, I bet we provide staplers.
Well, on a helpful related quick story from the Times Herald of 4-2, the Dearborn Public Schools had the Mardi Gras party.
Yep, and made a lot of money.
And made over $33,000.
That's
for classroom extracurricular tools and programs.
I think that's the goal I'd like to set for a pledge drive. No, that's way more than we need even for the pledge drive, folks. Even with these two boards that cost $5,000 each, we still need about, to be realistic, about another $10,000 for basic supplies and equipment that we need every year anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And the college doesn't pay for all of it. And if we don't have it, we probably can't broadcast as much. Just facts of life here. And so if you love us, you listen to this show, explore getting ready to give us a generous donation. Either online right now at whfr.fm or sometime next week, call in and talk to us. There will be, as they say, operators on duty, more of our volunteers, that even during the show and during questions with Mayor O'Reilly, you'll be able to get to someone to write down your pledge for you. And yes, you can charge it, but not American Express. By the way, Dearborn Schools, we're always trying to segue, which means related stories, as John said. No makeup days in Dearborn. Mm. Nope. So no, you can't fix up your face or add to your eyebrows. No makeup days in Dearborn. No rush, no rouge, no lipstick. Of course, that means that because of all the snow and emergencies that have canceled Dearborn Schools for full days here in Michigan, second worst winter of all time. We've got enough days in the calendar already. Not my daughter. Not Southfield Public Schools. They've got to add a week because they didn't have those extra days in there.
Wow.
Okay. Because they were watching the budget, so they were paying people less money and hoping they wouldn't have to keep them that long. But now they had to add almost a week in June of extra days. But Dearborn, got enough days. Don't need any makeup days. That's good. Friends of the Dearborn Heights Library book sale is next weekend, the 10th through the 12th of this month, April. So if you're out there in Dearborn Heights, go on to their library. Is that the Kennedy Library? Well, whatever it's called. And all kinds of books that the friends, that is the volunteers that are helping the library, helping to raise money, will have available at a really, really inexpensive cost. And books are, to me, the soul of life. That was a motto of Amazon.com when they first got started.
Very good.
Yeah, they sent me a little magnetic sticker. It said, books are the soul of life. Yeah. Now they're into everything else, too. Oh, and schools, as long as we're on this, we have only about 6 minutes before we have a big blues show, 4 hours of the best in blues with Joanne Korchinska coming up, Highway 61, we call it, from 2 to 6 p.m. But Dearborn Superintendent Brian Winston, who I mentioned before, Winston, got to be clear on that, he recommends that the Howe School move out. They sell the building or something. Rent it, whatever, they're going to move it to our Dearborn Heights Henry Ford Community College Center. And everybody who's there from Henry Ford Community College, if I talked to a few people today, are moving back to the campus. The Welcome Center that we have, that has the admissions office, registrar's office, and a few other offices in it now, I don't even keep up how many, they had a lot of space 2 years ago when they opened it up. A lot of extra space there, and so they can accommodate some of the programs that we formerly had at the Dearborn Heights campus. So we won't have to pay the cost of running that facility anymore, because it won't be our building anymore. It's all owned, of course, by the Dearborn School District. The Board of Trustees are the same people who are for HFCC, who are the Dearborn Board of Education for K-12. Same people, so they got to agree on doing this, right? Because they're the same people. if they say we're going to do it in one group meeting, yeah, they're going to do it in the other one. If they have to make it official, they'll do it twice. Okay, so that's okay. It's a great facility at Dearborn Heights Center out on Cherry Hill in Ann Arbor Trail, I think, somewhere there.
Real close.
Yeah.
I took my voiceover class there.
Well, there you go. Sure. That was when the
adult learning
we had adult learning.
Yes.
Yes, we do have some adult learning classes, including a training class for WHFR that's now under MTech. So go to hfcc.edu, check out the MTech Center, because it's a high-tech class, right, John?
Ooh, very high.
Microphones, wow, very high-tech. How do you use them? You talk into the top. Oh, okay. Yeah, high-tech. But nonetheless, MTech has got our training class now in there for community-interested people like yourself, if you wanted to take the class. Mm-hmm. And as I said in the past, if you're a senior in Dearborn, and I think that you have to be 65 officially, but tuition to Henry Ford Community College and probably the MTech training course is free. What a price. It's free. You just have to somehow prove you're old, I guess. That does sound very old when you call. No, and you fill out the form. You put down, the basic information. And if there is a textbook involved, though, you have to pay for that. But the tuition is always the big chunk, and it's free. So I'm sorry, John, you paid real money when it was under adult ed for both the voiceover class and this one. I'm glad you were able to afford it, and it looks like you're having fun at this point anyway.
Very much so, but I'm not quite 65 yet either. So
there you go. But I just thought I mentioned that because I have a relative from a prior marriage who is here, and boy, he's older than I am. He's definitely a senior. He's in the accelerated program for culinary arts. He loves it. He's here. He's got it because he's going to finish in 13 months because they go a lot more hours from this new accelerated program. It's usually like 2 years. And he's already had other college before, so he doesn't need any other basics. And he's here like 8 to 10 hours a week, one day or the other. He loves the classes, loves the teachers. He's looking forward to a whole new career in some aspect of culinary arts, of restaurant management or restaurant food prep or whatever, all the different specialties, just like in health careers. And so he loves it. So if you are a senior and you'd like to really explore some career opportunities, maybe just part-time, but, we've got all kinds of programs and tuition-free for Dearborn residents. Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing.
Fantastic for anyone to continue their education at any age.
I think so. And you can never... As our high school intern, Isaiah, who's sitting in here with us today from Henry Ford Academy, didn't give you credit for being here last week, but I am over the air now. Glad to have you with us. And And also a famous person standing outside our window, George Bednar, formerly Vice President General Manager of Adre Appliance, and also the man behind Venture Records, who released our first three blues albums here. And he's got some with him now. He's still selling them out of the back of his car trunk or something. That's great. And he sent a little note on Facebook I saw about our blues benefit going to happen tomorrow, and Joanne Korczynska will say a lot more about that. We got three great groups, including one that was under contract to him, the Alligators. He's nodding his head. Yes. he did it for them. One of the first, maybe the first one to sign them. I'm not sure. But so we're having fun here. Welcome, George. Hope to see you again. He's behind the soundproof window, so we can't have him talk to us. But probably just had maybe lunch here at one of 5101, which is right in the same building as Student Center, Henry Ford Community College. Okay, Joanne is on her way in. It's WHFR Dearborn. Got a couple more minutes for the podcast, so we'll just keep going here. Severstal, that's a steel plant in town that's owned by a Russian company. It is a Russian company. They're still awaiting a permit decision from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality about whether they can pollute more than what they were allowed to originally. They said, look, this is what we're doing anyway, so why not just up the standards? Yeah, but they've already gotten 8 fines or citations anyway. Maybe they haven't paid them yet over the last 6 years or whatever it is for breaking those standards. And now they say, well, hey, it's not so bad. What's a little more pollution? Nobody's died in the, oh, they didn't say that. Nobody's died in the last 6 years. But, you know, more pollution is bad. That's my bottom line, my opinion. Extra pollution, whether it's in the air or the water or electromagnetic or radiation. I mean, I bought a cover for my iPhone that actually stops 80% of the nasty radiation that when I put it up to my head, it won't immediately give me brain cancer now. Not immediately.
Definitely a benefit.
But it's 80% cut, but it's also got an extra little antenna that boosts the signal, not hurting me, though, so I get better reception. Unfortunately, it cost me $70, and I won't mention the company because that's a commercial if I do. But I'm just saying, you, especially young people, don't allow any more pollution in your body, whether you're breathing it, eating it, drinking it, or having it on your phone, than is necessary. You know, because it's all going to be bad eventually. Yeah. Okay. Scare tactics, Goranek. No. You know, Adobe Hotel over there, formerly the Hyatt Regency in Dearborn, the people that own that facility didn't want the management people, a company whose first name is the word Atmosphere Incorporated, to do it anymore. And it's big disputes about who didn't pay enough back, who didn't pay any money forward. Atmosphere said, well, the actual owners didn't give us what they said in the original contract. And the owners say, well, you didn't provide back the profits that we originally asked for. And so now the owners say, we're kicking you out. And so we may have a whole huge so-called luxury hotel property going vacant. But the judge, thank goodness, here, whichever judge in the local area, said Atmosphere can continue to manage it until they can work out the details of who's right or wrong or whatever. Editorial on Dearborn Times Herald. It's actually from the Port Huron Times Herald, but it's in the Dearborn Times Herald this last Wednesday. Free college idea worth pursuing. Darn right it is. Can I say darn? Well, I just did.
You did.
I didn't say darn. Now, it's a new plan. It's not totally free tuition, but it's a great idea, and if a conservative newspaper editorial staff like the Times Herald and the Times Herald in Dearborn allows this editorial to run, it's got to be something that can